You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
This week's second phase of the National COVID-19 Inquiry has seen public hearings from the community and experts talking about the wider impacts of mandates and lockdowns during the pandemic. As health experts are urging the government to anticipate and better prepare for a future pandemic, and people in all sectors across New Zealand still work through the ongoing effects of COVID-19, this inquiry needs to inform critical decision-making and processes for the central government. Speaking more about the inquiry and the general effects of COVID-19, I spoke with public health expert Sir Colin Tukuitonga about his research findings and the importance of pandemic preparedness, as well as Restaurant Association Chief Executive Marissa Bidois about the need to support businesses and hospitality in New Zealand. My first interview is with Marissa Bidois. So we've got this phase two of the COVID inquiry this week. I wanted to ask you first off, are you optimistic that the government will be receptive to community feedback going into this phase of the COVID inquiry?
Look, I think that it's really important that they are. And I do think that this is why we're having the COVID inquiries is to hear the feedback and hopefully learn from that. I think it's absolutely essential, you know, that the community are able to, I guess, share their experiences of COVID. Everyone experienced it in a different way. And it is a really opportune time to learn about what went well, what didn't go well, and hopefully have a plan for the future.
You've written about this topic before. What were some of the main issues that you wanted to highlight, especially for restaurants and businesses, in terms of the effect of COVID and the mandates that happened during that time?
Yeah. Well, I just want to start with saying, look, there were some things that went really well. And I think it's really important that we acknowledge that as well. Things like the wage subsidy helped businesses. Many businesses survived during a really difficult time. But on the flip side of that, you know, there are things that didn't go so well. And I think one of the things that we have been highlighting the most is just that need for early consultation with the communities that are impacted the most. Like, say, for example, our industry, hospitality, we felt that there were a lot of things that we could have done early in the piece to assist with the response. For example, we had a plan around the contactless delivery right from the very start. This was eventually implemented way down the track, but it could have been implemented sooner if there would have been early engagements.
Are there any perspectives or issues that you think should be highlighted, especially in this inquiry, or that you think have been dismissed or undervalued in discourse around the effect of COVID-19?
Look, I think there are absolutely so many different areas that you know, can be examined and reviewed. One of the things that I think is really important from our perspective as an industry, hospitality businesses did have quite restrictive rules put on them when compared to other industries, for example. This did lead to the loss of, you know, many businesses in our industry. So I think a one-size-fit approach doesn't work. It really does need to be tailored. It does need to be looked at carefully in terms of how blanket policy impacts people. I know that's not always practical, and sometimes we need to kind of respond quickly, but I think it's really important to, yeah, just consider the nuances of how blanket policy impacts individuals and industry.
Are there any examples that you know of from other countries in terms of the responses, the mistakes and successes that you think New Zealand could be using to inform our inquiry and recommendations for the future?
Look, I think we can always learn from what's happened overseas and sort of examine some of the different approaches that were made. For example, we were really quite fond of, I guess, the UK's approach, some of the things that the government did over there to support the hospitality industry. They were heavily invested in the impacts that had on their industry. You know, they had sort of subsidized dining available for the public. We really liked that. We thought that would have worked really well in New Zealand and could have sort of boosted I guess the trade within our businesses after that kind of lockdown period. So we thought that went down really well. But of course, there will be people who don't agree with that as well. So we realize that everyone has different viewpoints.
A bit of a sidebar question. Do you have any concerns, especially with this phase of the inquiry, in terms of politicization to the effect of potentially overshadowing the genuine impacts faced by people across Aotearoa?
Sorry, let me just hear the question again. Are you sort of asking, by having this inquiry, are we kind of getting lost in the politics? Is that kind of
Do you have concern? Yeah, like that political parties are using it to kind of push criticism against each other or say, you did this wrong or we could have done this better, that kind of thing.
I think I genuinely would like to believe that we can learn something from examining past actions. I mean, yes, I guess it is an opportunity to kind of highlight, hey, you didn't do this well. We would have done it better. You know, it does kind of lend itself to that. But in the grand scheme of things, I think Aotearoa will benefit from examining the processes, the policies, and how those decisions were made. I think we can only benefit from examining that.
In the case of a future pandemic of any similar scale to what we've observed with COVID, how do you think the government could act differently to better support businesses while appropriately balancing public health needs?
One of the things that we put forward is having a standing advisory group collectively from businesses to shape policy procedure around emergency response plans, and we think this is sort of something that could work quite well. I think that these sorts of circumstances, we have to remember it was a unique point in time. We hadn't really sort of dealt with anything quite like this before. So, of course, there are going to be mistakes that were made, things that have impacted people adversely. But I think the most important thing is that if we can learn from this and do better, that's going to be a really good outcome for everyone.
Next up, I spoke with public health expert and Pacific academic Sir Colin Tukuitonga on his thoughts about phase two of the COVID inquiry. Are you satisfied with the proceedings of the COVID-19 inquiry this week?
Oh, I thought the original inquiry, in fact, pretty much summarised the overall situation in New Zealand. The so-called phase two is clearly targeted at certain aspects, as you say, vaccine mandates and so on. So, I suppose Aotearoa New Zealand will find information that hopefully will inform us to do better next time. I have to say I'm not sure that phase two is necessary. I thought the information that came out in the original inquiry was more than enough, and I would just hope that we act on those and plan ahead, because most experts tell us that we can expect another pandemic in the future. So I guess what I'm saying is I'm ambivalent about the value of the second phase, to be honest.
So you don't think that we needed a second phase? Are you concerned about the COVID inquiry being used as an opportunity by political parties to levy criticism against one another rather than critically inform and improve New Zealand's pandemic preparedness?
That's exactly what I'm saying. I mean, if you look at the terms of reference for phase two, it's clearly targeted at mandates, and it's something that political parties have pushed for. And given the way the terms of reference is structured, you can predict what's that's going to say. It's not as open-ended as I thought the original inquiry was, but anyhow, let's see what they come up with.
You were the lead researcher for a report on the impact of the COVID-19 response for Pacific communities. Can you tell me a bit about your findings relating to the failure of certain decisions to adequately meet the needs of Pacific and Māori populations?
Yes, we did three reports, actually. One was funded by the Health Research Council and the other two by the Ministry of Health. And obviously we came to the the studies looked in depth at how particularly Pacific communities got on during the pandemic. I should say that Māori and Pacific people are disproportionately impacted by COVID-19. There's no great surprise. what is a surprise, of course, is that we didn't learn the lessons of history. In the 1918 influenza pandemic, Māori were found to have six times the death rate of Pākehā in New Zealand. In other words, we knew back in 1918 that Māori, indigenous Māori, were disproportionately affected by these outbreaks, and I would have thought that we would have been better prepared. I'm also on the record as saying that I thought New Zealand did pretty well overall in terms of the response we had to COVID-19 compared to other countries elsewhere in the world, and I thought we did really well as a country. What we didn't do so well, of course, was fully engage in support Māori communities and Pacific communities, and as a result, they were disproportionately affected. More infections per unit population, more hospitalizations, and more deaths comparatively. And so in a way, one could say we should have known better, but we didn't, and we didn't do so well in protecting Indigenous Māori and Pacific people. A number of reasons for that we can go into, but as I say, that's pretty much what our studies found.
Do you think there's been sufficient attention offered to the longer-term effects of COVID-19, especially for populations who have faced disproportionate consequences on their livelihoods?
Well, my understanding, one of the criticisms of the original inquiry was that there wasn't enough attention and focus given to people who suffered long COVID. And I understand that even in phase two, again, it's not part of the, it's not a big component of the inquiry. And people who suffer long-term consequences of COVID-19 would say that their voices have not been allowed for, and they may well have a point. I guess my main concern, of course, is the fact that the impact on Pacific people, both short-term in terms of socioeconomic impacts, access to health services, uptake of vaccines, need to be better accounted for next time. I'm not at all disregarding the importance of long COVID, but I think in both components of the inquiry, my understanding is the long COVID is not a big part of those inquiries.
What would be your recommendations for the government, both in terms of ensuring that this inquiry is effective in addressing the concerns of people across New Zealand and ensuring that we are prepared for a future pandemic and have general pandemic preparedness measures?
Oh, my advice would be to take due account of the important and useful information that came out in phase one. There was a lot of good information and advice there to inform us as a country to for us to be better prepared for the next pandemic. I'm sure the phase two inquiry, with a focus on vaccine mandates, for example, and very specific topics that were perhaps not as well covered in phase one, that, again, I'm sure we'll learn some things from there, provided we don't use the findings of phase two to continue to press and score political points. And that's my fear with phase two, because it's quite, the terms of reference is quite specific and clearly motivated by people who subscribe to a particular political party. It's the risk with phase two, in my view.
That was Pacific public health expert Sir Colin Te Kuitonga and Restaurant Association executive Marissa Bidois sharing their views on this week's COVID-19 inquiry.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.